following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of Radio Law Talk. We are flying way below the radar. We not only fly below the radar, I think we've landed in the mud, and we're skipping through the mud. I got a text from the CEO and president of Nevada Radio Talk Network, and we, I think, are on probably 9 or 10 of their stations. I don't know how many of them, and I don't know what it is yet, and I've gotten read it yet. I know he's in Chicago. He says he's in Chicago right now.
You're afraid to read the text?
Yeah, I'm not going to read
it. Let's read it on the air. Let's read it on the air and see what happens.
He may tell us that we're in Chicago right now.
Yeah. Well, I think we might maybe in Chicago, but it's interesting. But he's in Chicago and he said, call me. I said, I'm on the air. He said, call me when you're done. I'm like, okay, like done, like we're done. So we'll call the boss and see what's going on. But, let's see, third hour. Boy, the first 2 hours were crazy. I wish we could talk about something. Todd, during the break, had to tell us, and we're not going to talk about it on the air, about his first kiss when he was age 4 and what he did and what he thought. And it was very interesting.
Suffice to say, my love life peaked at the age of 4. It's been downhill ever since.
I believe that, too. It's exactly right.
Todd had his kitty.
Yeah, we're going to talk today about a lot of things. We're going to do a case or no case because, you know, we love case or no case. And Rodriguez and, let's see, Todd got smoked last time by Denise and I. If you want to call in, 855-LAW-RADIO. If you want to have any legal questions answered or listen to all of us cough all the time, just listen in. But if you have any legal questions, go to your local lawyer. Because we're talking about the general topics of law, go to our website. It's so exciting to read the disclaimers, especially with Todd. That's our disclaimer song. We love our disclaimer song.
And now it's time for anecdotal stories.
Yeah, and listening to Denise cough. That's exactly right, huh, Denise? Denise is
don't tell on me. You cough too.
I know. We're definitely. I was fine until yesterday. It's just talking on the radio has got me rolling again.
Introducing a new segment here on Radio Log Talk. It's called Turn Your Head and Cough.
Oh, stop it.
I think if anybody's listening out there, I think they may be listening to the last hour in the history of Radio Law Talk. So let's make it a good one. It might be the last case or no case. I want like to get to double digits if I can.
Okay, here's the thing that's important, Chris, is you talked about Chris Rodriguez. The first 2 hours, if you weren't listening, Chris was very adamant that we should not broach certain subjects. And Todd brought up a very interesting anecdotal question.
So Chris has a guest here. In the studio, his 10-year-old son, and all of a sudden, Chris is like a choir boy and doesn't want to broach certain topics.
Exactly.
Chris Rodriguez saying, I object to talking about this certain topic. Are you kidding me?
The guy that we have to hit the button all the time on?
Hold on.
If
you go back and listen to the history of the show, I have been conservative on certain topics. For example, when we have our research lawyers that are first-year law students and second-year law students, and Fred likes to get their picture online and oh, this is a very attractive young man or whatever. It's like that makes me uncomfortable. It has nothing to do with my 10-year-old boy being here. And just to show that, we did a whole segment on groping and kissing, unwanted kissing with my 10-year-old sitting right there
Here's
behind the glass.
After you had lodged an objection to doing the very topic.
Did I not just offer up my 10-year-old if we wanted to quiz him on the air on his first kiss? And you guys said that you didn't want to do that.
No,
so don't say
out.
That I'm the prude here.
Your 10-year-old son said he didn't want to do that, just to make that clear.
I am putting my 10-year-old son's mental health in plenty of jeopardy today just by being here. So he's back a little bit for the good of the show.
You know what's interesting is what the people out there in Radioland do not know is it's not necessarily what Chris Rodriguez is saying. Is anytime a word is mentioned, the snicker and the hand over the mic and the gut-wrenching laughing is what is most important to note. And it's like, stop, Chris. Don't laugh. There's nothing to laugh about here. We're talking serious topics.
Alex, I'll take double entendres for $5,000, please.
That's exactly. Oh, my gosh. So we're going to talk today about the family suing for their family body falling out of the hearse. Florida bridge collapse, beer class action, accident of self. Hey, we're going to talk about the self-driving car accident that unfortunately killed someone using marijuana for your disabled children in Texas. This family was at least possibly being prosecuted for overtime rules and laws. Chris is going to talk about briefly, and you know, we already talked about legality and illegality of March Madness, but the most important thing is we're going to have a case or no case, aren't we, Denise?
That's right.
And Denise and I are going to smoke the other boys, so let's roll it, Cal.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
Well, as you know, Chick-fil-A, I told you it'd be a Chick-fil-A. I have two Chick-fil-A's today, you know, this Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has like 1,500 restaurants around the country, none in Redding, California, where I live. I'd love to have one. No, don't have one there. But a manager there claims that he was discriminated against because of the way he observed his Muslim faith and did not observe his Christian faith. Chick-fil-A says they run the business on the basis of Christian principles because they work. That's how they make their money. And they say a person's religion doesn't matter to us. Oh, by the way, let's all huddle together and have a prayer and close in the name of Jesus, as a Christian prayer would normally do. And the Muslim said, with all due respect, I'm uncomfortable being in a prayer that closes in that way, so I will recuse myself from that. And the next day, he says, he was fired. So he's suing. He says he had good reviews, everything was fine. And so he's suing Chick-fil-A on the basis of discrimination. I started with Denise last time. I think I'll start with a guy who really is, this is really up his alley, Mr. Chris Rodriguez, who handles some business law from time to time. Chris, is this a case, first off? And secondly, if it is, what is the outcome, if you please?
So a garden variety religious discrimination employment action, I think that's probably too vanilla for you to have made up. I think if you made something up, it would have a little more spice to it. So I'm going to say it is a case.
So a spicy chicken case.
Yes, and... You know, this is where it's a little bit of a crapshoot because you don't know whether he actually had the facts to support his allegations. But if he did, and I'll assume that he did, he's going to achieve a settlement. So I believe that he will receive some money for wrongful termination and violation of public policy because he was exercising his religious freedom. So it is a case, and he does recover.
Would the settlement be as the result of a court ruling in his favor? How would he get money from that? I'd like you to kind of narrow down your thinking on that.
Yes, as a result of a court ruling that he gets past summary judgment. And therefore, the other side doesn't want to take it to trial, so he obtains a settlement.
All right. Mr. Kunin, case or no case?
Okay.
One more time, Cal. I was reading the text from the CEO of the So what was it again? Now, I know discrimination.
A guy says that in a training meeting, all the Chick-fil-A employees prayed.
Right. Oh.
And they prayed in Christian, or what one called a Christian prayer, closing in the name of Jesus. He said, I don't like that. I don't want to participate in that. And the next day, he was fired. So for no other reason that he could determine, but the next day, he was terminated. He was pulled out of the fryer before he was done.
Where was that? What state?
That was in Texas. Or, I'm sorry. Is that right? Their company headquarters are in Georgia. Company headquarters are in Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay. Is it to me?
Yeah. Here,
okay, and we got less than a minute, but I can be pretty quick with this. I'm going to say, yes, it's a case. Facts sound like it's a case. And I'm going to say that he recovers. Now, I want to point out that in the previous case or no case, you awarded points because the plaintiff recovered, even though all he recovered were coupons. Okay, so if coupons were enough to satisfy the recovery element, and if Chick-fil-A is willing to settle a clearly frivolous suit with coupons there, I will say that this was also a recovery for the plaintiff in some way, shape, or form.
Okay, we're going to be back, and I guess it's going to be Denise and my turn. Well, that was a little bit scary. He wasn't sure where it was. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. We'll be right back.
Stick around. There's much more Radio Law Talk coming up right here, including more on Case or No Case. Don't go away. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk are for California legal services only.
Jason Rossbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Looking for a full day of fun for the family? You can't beat spending your day or evening at Golfland Sunsplash in Roseville, the premier family entertainment destination for all of Northern California. Pick from one of two adventure-themed 18-hole mini golf courses, then get challenged on our fast car racetrack. Don't miss Golfland's state-of-the-art laser tag arena, Laser Nights, and over 200 arcade games. The best in family entertainment, now at Golfland Sunsplash in Roseville. Golfland.com.
Since 1960, Iceberg Drive-In has been a family favorite for not only our famous thick shakes with unlimited delicious flavor combinations, but also our hand-breaded onion rings, delicious fries, and signature fry sauce. The Iceberg Shake Shop is perfect for high-traffic locations such as busy strip malls, recreational amusement centers, or near theaters. We are seeking qualified franchisees in the western United States. You'll have access to not only the popular Iceberg Drive-In name, but also our procedures, buying power, and operations. Plus, receive support dedicated to your success. For more information, email franchise@icebergdrivein.com or visit our website at icebergdrivein.com.
Looking for a full day of fun for the family? You can't beat spending your day or evening at Golfland Sunsplash in Roseville, the premier family entertainment destination for all of Northern California. Pick from one of two adventure-themed 18-hole mini golf courses, then get challenged on our fast car racetrack. Don't miss Golfland's state-of-the-art laser tag arena, Laser Nights, and over 200 arcade games. The best in family entertainment, now at Golfland Sunsplash in Roseville. Golfland.com.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick Quack Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
What makes great jerky? Jerky that's moist, tender, and perfectly seasoned. And if you're looking for moist, tender, flavorful jerky, don't look anywhere else but River City Jerky Works. Only the finest ingredients and top quality meats are used in the preparation of River City Jerky. Do yourself a favor and order your River City Jerky Works jerky by going to their website, rivercityjerkyworks.com. Mmm. River City Jerky Works. One bite and you'll be hooked. Quite possibly the best jerky on the planet.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
We're back, I guess. I guess we're back. You know what? I've been sitting during the break, and I've been battling back and forth because Cal said one thing, and I don't want to go on a limb because I want to stay ahead of the two boys to my left. So if I stuck with their... I mean, I guess I'm talking about case or no case now. I'm going to go next, Cal, if that's okay. And then Denise, I guess.
Sure, but I want to give you a correction before you do, sure. And I want to give you guys a chance to alter your response. The case was actually filed in Houston, Texas, as okay. opposed to the company headquarters in Georgia, against a franchise owner.
Okay. So that tells me right now it's a case. You just answered my question.
I am not altering my answer at all. I stick by my answer.
Chris,
okay. All right, so it is definitely a case, and there is discrimination against that guy for rolling in and not and praying at work. Not that I don't think it's okay to do that. I like, you know, the fact they're praying, whatever prayer that is. But I'm not saying – but, of course, we're politically neutral. But he – at least according to California law, that's a difficult thing to do. I'm going to say he wins. They settle it out of court. It does not go to court because they're smart enough to give out a bunch of free passes. And the guy who said that they're praying and it was discriminatory to him wins the case.
All right. Denise Dirks, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts, well, it's against a franchise owner, not against Chick-fil-A. Correct. Exactly.
Although they did say, allegedly in the case, that we do this according to Christian principles because it works, it's good for our business, we're going to pray, and we expect people to be a part of it, apparently. So,
it's a case.
Okay, yeah.
And I think he recovers money.
Settlement, Denise, or does it go to court?
No, I think it goes to court and he recovers money.
So you're thinking a judge ruled against the franchise holder?
I do.
Just to make that clear. All right, so those of you who say it's a case, let's see, that's all of you. And, of course, good. I gave that away a little bit. Now, for those of you who say that the judge made the final determination, show of hands, please. Denise. Oh, I'm so sorry, Denise. And those of you who said no, this was settled out of court in a non-disclosure agreement, basically. The three of you.
Oh, gosh.
And congratulations, and once again, that. And I'm sorry that I gave you such a milquetoast case or no case. I will do much better at getting those that challenge you more going forward.
Yeah, I think, Denise, you just went out on a limb. You shouldn't have. You should have stuck with the boys.
Since I got 2 points, can I get the Fiesta music a little bit?
You want the
Fiesta? I would like that.
Sure, of course. Yeah, yeah.
That's Rodriguez's theme song.
Every time I get 2 points, I get this.
There you go.
And that's on Rodriguez asked for it.
Yes.
So it's not like...
It's a request list. Yeah.
It's a reasonable request.
Family suing for the body falling out of a hearse in Alabama, northern Alabama. Yeah. A body in September 19th, 2017, a person died on... I'm not going to say the people's name because I don't want to... I just don't think it should be mentioned. But in September 15th, this person died, age 55. The limo's cruising down the road, and the door malfunctions, and it slides out onto the casket slides out onto the main road. And I actually looked it up, and I saw the pictures of it. And it's sitting on the road, and there's actually the guys from the funeral home standing around it, protecting it as cars are driving around it.
Did it open?
Well, that's the issue. The issue is they said the family is saying yes. Don't forget the lawsuits have just been filed. The family's saying yes, it did, and there's body parts that were hanging out, and they did not see this, is the understanding. However, there's people that took pictures of it and threw it up on Facebook, Instagram, saying look what happened, and that what exposed the family to, you know, ridicule. Some other drivers photographed and published on social media outlets is what the family is trying to say. And their argument was also that the funeral home came and told them, quote, there was an accident and blank had been tossed around just a touch. And they actually ruined the casket. They had to put this person in a new casket. Now, on the funeral home side, they've declined to comment. So we say it's all allegations. They do say they regret that it has happened and it was beyond their control, which... If the door malfunctions, maybe it was. But this lawsuit is in Morgan County Circuit Court. This is in Alabama. They claim negligence, gross negligence, wantonness, intentional infliction of emotional stress, and negligent hire and training and supervision of the individuals who are driving the casket. So there
you
go.
They didn't sue the hearse manufacturers?
They didn't, and I think I would have added them in.
How do you get a claim for intentional infliction of emotional distress? I mean, in order to prevail on that type of claim, there has to be some intentional conduct. Unless they can argue that these people intentionally left the door open just to see the hijinks that would ensue once the casket falls out onto the freeway.
And what you do, Chris, you know as well as I do, a lot of times you just throw everything up against the wall because you don't know all the facts yet to see what sticks. And you want to be reasonable, not just throw something up because it's unreasonable. But you've got to take every potential allegation or issue that's out there and lay it out. And if it's not there, then you pull it out.
And there's a, by the way, the coffin, the body was actually in a cardboard container. It had not yet been put in a casket, or maybe they
I didn't know that.
On the way to a crematorium. So it was in cardboard. That came out. Obviously, that was just an ugly situation. A good Samaritan came and helped, put everything up and put it back in the hearse. But still, the damage had been done, you know, to the family and obviously to the remains themselves.
So. The other interesting issue, and I don't know if you ever handle any cases like this. I've only heard about it like in law school or whatever, but negligent intention of emotional distress. If you witness one of your immediate family members, something bad happens to them. So like if you see a crane fall down and kill your family member, you have a recovery.
It's a Dillon V leg.
But one of the elements is you have to actually be there.
Right.
So this is now a kind of a social media aspect to it. If you're not there, but then you see a video of it, that wouldn't have happened 30 years ago or 40 years ago when these laws were developed, or 100 years ago, but now it is. Is that the same? Can you get damages for intentional infliction of emotional distress by watching a video?
But good question. Do you sue? With the person that put the video up?
No, you would sue the person who was operating the crane or whatever.
Yeah, but
the video people, all Chris is saying is, under the old laws, under Dillon v. Legg, it basically says if you witness this or witness something, then you have another claim. He's wondering, hey, if you didn't witness, but now you witness it on social media, does
right,
that
like
apply?
These people did in the coffin.
We're going to be right back and talk more about this after the break. I'm Fred Penny, your host, and it's a beautiful day outside.
And we thank you for listening to us right here live on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station. Stay tuned. There is much more Radio Law Talk ahead after this. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk are for California legal services only. The following announcement brought to you by SacramentoLawyer.com. Finding the right lawyer for your particular needs can be confusing. With all the commercials and listings, and who's to say whether the lawyers there are even any good at what they do. So when you're looking for a lawyer, it makes sense to find someone local with the experience and expertise in that area of the law where you have a need. That's why there is SacramentoLawyer.com.
SacramentoLawyer.com.
At SacramentoLawyer.com, you just browse the site, free, and see the Facebook reviews on the firms you're considering with just a simple mouse click. That way you'll learn a little bit more about the lawyers there before you start making this critical decision. And there's no pressure. Use the right tool to find the lawyer that's best for you by going to SacramentoLawyer.com.
SacramentoLawyer.com.
That's SacramentoLawyer.com.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
I'm going to quick quack car wash. Get my car washed, make it quick quack, pretty shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty, going to get my car suds in the quick quack car wash. It's the quick quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking 3 skinny minutes sitting right in your car. Watch 100 feet of cloth washing your car at the quick quack car wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, or Chevy, Saab, or Cadillac, quick quack will spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy looking snappy. You'll be glad you was at the quick quack car wash. Get on the web and go to don'tdrivedirty.com and see where you got your closest quick quack in the local area. Get in your car, get in your truck, get on the road and come visit the duck at the
quick quack car wash, where your car will always leave happy, guaranteed. They take pride in being clean and green by conserving and recycling the water they use only at the
quick quack car wash. Quick
quack. All right, guys, we need to have you read some lines for our disclaimer promo, but first, can anybody tell me what a disclaimer is? Right then. Well, Denise, you go ahead.
Non uti consilius me oriere por questus purpurium juris consult.
Latin, that's a nice touch. Thank you, Denise. Next time we'll try it in English if that's okay. Fred, how about you?
Cal, I don't want to read all this. Can't we just tell the people that we're discussing general legal issues and they should hire their own attorney instead of relying on what we have to say here?
Well, we could, I guess. Chris?
I'm not going to be there anyway. Why have me do it?
Let's have Todd do it.
Me? Read disclaimers? Why, I couldn't. The information you hear on Radio Law Talk is general.
The preceding promo was for entertainment purposes only. And if you want true legal advice, contact your own lawyer. Just a tip from your friends at Radio Law Talk.
Be sure to read our disclaimers on RadioLawTalk.com as well.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
You know, there's a Sacramento guy, the Sacramento Bee reports, that files a federal lawsuit last week against Pabst Brewing Company, alleging false advertising in the sales of Olympia beer products. And I print out a whole bunch of information on water. He's trying to claim that it's not really sourced properly. What they're claiming the water is in that beer is not necessarily true. Is that true, Chris? What's you kind of followed this up?
Yeah, this is one of these crazy litigious people out there that
time ago, way back.
The song's called Beer, 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 so go ahead.
We got to get to the part where it says beer, 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 right?
By the name of Charlie Mock.
He's done a lot of lawsuits, right? He's brought a lot of lawsuits.
All right, sir.
There we go.
Thank you, Cal. So anyway, that gave me time to gather my thoughts.
Yes, yes, yes.
This gentleman is a wacky plaintiff.
Okay, that's what you think. He's maybe not.
No.
You're so cryptic in your opinion.
He's wacky.
What do you think?
This guy's a mess. He's a complete disaster. Anyway.
Be prepared. He's going to sue you, Chris.
He's filed. Oh, he might. And show, which you guys will indemnify me for.
Yeah,
I appreciate
that's
that.
True.
He's filed 3 lawsuits. Okay. He sued a guacamole company. The article that I read was not specific about the allegations he made against the guacamole company. That one settled. He sued Olympia Beer. If you know anything about beer, you know Olympia is not a high-end beer. I'll put it that way. In my opinion, again, I can't defame Olympia. In my opinion, it's one of the worst beers on the market.
Really?
I believe. But in any event, he's saying that Olympia, their slogan insinuates that the water they use to make the beer comes from a premium source in the mountains of Washington.
It's artesian spring water in Tumwater, Washington. And he claims it's the same St. Gabriel Valley city of Irwindale water.
Right.
Now, I'm jumping on his side, man. Maybe he's right. Hey, is that deceptive advertising?
It may very well be. It may very well be. Okay, so there's lots of lawsuits like this. We talk about these on this show all the time where a product is alleged to be false or misleading because, you know, the way that it's packaged or whatever the company's slogan is insinuates that the product is something other than it really is. We've got lawsuits where, for example, you buy these gummy bears or the fruit snacks, and only a third of the package is full, but it comes in kind of a bigger package to insinuate that there's more product there than there really is. All of these kind of consumer protection type lawsuits where you're suing the manufacturer of something for misleading the public. But the funny thing is, he also sued a brewery in San Francisco, very well known, and it makes great beer, called 21st Amendment. And he sued because he was the allegation was that 21st Amendment insinuates in its marketing that its beer is locally brewed. And this was one of the allegations in his suit. He said that he would not have bought the 21st Amendment beer and paid a premium price if he knew it was not brewed in San Francisco as advertised.
Minnesota.
But brewed in an old, out-of-state brewery known to make kind of crappy beer.
Oh.
Kind of crappy beer. So you can tell he's represented by a very sophisticated plaintiff's lawyer.
Well, let me jump on his side. Ready for this? This is what – let's move back to the Olympia because he's got a number of suits going. Let's go back to the Olympia lawsuit. Now, by the way, he purchased this Olympia beer – and I'm not going to comment on this, and we know it's Sacramento area, in Rancho Cordova grocery outlet store. That's all I've got to say. The Olympia website says this. Now, I'm jumping on his side. Quote, it blends – this is what his allegations are. The beer says it blends nature's finest raw materials from the fields of the great Northwest into an icon as stunning as the land itself. Pure mountain water and golden barley tan, this smooth sculpted beer like Mount Olympia itself. Does he have – okay, now those of you out there listening, does he have a claim?
Okay, but you and let's assume that the water in Washington everybody knows to be of the highest quality and the water in Irwindale, California is terrible. Can you make a case that somebody – would not want to buy Olympia or would only buy Olympia beer if it was that Olympic Mountain water? I don't think so.
Okay. This is very similar to a topic that we covered back in August about the class action lawsuit that was brought against Nestle for their spring water.
Exactly,
and I'm looking at our research from the Nestle thing. Now, what did you say that he said he would not have paid the premium price had it not been for that? And I'm looking here, and in the Nestle case, almost a direct quote, plaintiffs argued that they would not have paid a premium for the water had they known it was not actually spring water. So it's like they found this for the Olympia beer case, and they're taking the allegations directly from what was alleged in the Nestle case and saying, I wouldn't have paid the premium. When you read that, it was like, I've heard that language before, and here's where it came from.
But you can't – yeah, and that's what I'm arguing on his side is you can't claim something that is not true. And there are laws, federal and state laws, about water and what you can claim and not claim your water is. And it goes through what a natural spring water is. And look, I'm going to pull out my research book here and do not say anything to anyone. I want to read this directly from my research that says as follows about when you're calling something water. If it is an artesian water, groundwater, spring water, or well water, as you claim, the water must be from an underground aquifer, which may or may not be treated. Well water and artesian water are tapped through as a well. Spring water is collected as it flows to the surface or via or borehole. So there's definite definitions. If you're going to claim that and if you're using it, you better dang make sure that you're following the proper rules.
So
He
might be crazy. The plaintiff might be a crazy whack job with all this stuff, but he's filed a lawsuit that is following similar to other lawsuits that were filed by other individuals.
I'm not claiming he's
whack. So he's taking that water into the beer industry.
That's right.
And he's probably smarter than all of us combined. So I'm not saying he's whacked at all. I'm saying there's just possibilities here. And the last one, like you said, Chris, they settled out of court on that that beer in San Francisco. It said that they settled with him out of court, undisclosed amount.
For beer coupons.
Yeah, maybe for beer coupons. Cal, what's up?
Two questions here. First off, Olympia has been around for a very long time, and their marketing phrase from the beginning has been, it's the water. I only know that because my grandfather used to sell it in his bar in Oakley, Idaho, and they had big signs and all that. Okay, so they've got a heritage issue. But secondly, when you go to the grocery outlet and buy your beer, and it doesn't meet your drinking standards, what's the damage? Who's damaged? How's that going
to
work?
Good point. And that's, Cal, that's exactly what I was going to get to. I don't see the damages here. And I agree with you, Cal. That's hurdle number one. I think they get over. I think this guy gets over. But the hurdle number two, what are your damages? Here's $2.90 back for your beer.
Exactly.
Okay. The damages I could see, I haven't seen his complaint, but if he filed, and it's filed in California? In Sacramento?
Yes.
So if he filed a business and professions code section 17200 claim, which bars unfair business practices, and then says that the unfair business practice is mislabeling, okay, that carries with it a statutory amount that the litigant can bring on a per incident basis, which can get to be very high depending on that. So they could, under a private attorney general theory, so they could file a 17200 that has inherent damages as an unfair business practice. But I agree, putting that aside, you know, where are the individual damages to the consumers?
But that's why they have class action lawsuits. So let's say that
that's what they're trying to do. They're bringing this as a class
action. Exactly. And that's the only way it works, is if it's a class action, because then you can get, let's say it's the damages that a jury would award is 2 cents a can. Well, if that's for every can of beer that Olympia has sold in the state of California over the last 4 years, and that gets to be possibly a real number, at least for the lawyer. The beer drinkers will get a check for $5.42, and the lawyer will, you know, go on a vacation to Tahiti. So as it should be.
Multiple. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Uber. The fatal crash of the Uber robot car prompts California to ask questions. This is very interesting, we want to talk about. And we're going to get more into it in the next segment. But there's an accident that happens in Arizona. Apparently, now that the video is now coming out, because don't forget, in these driverless cars, now they have individuals sitting in these cars. But as of April 1st in California, they're going to allow these cars to go around driving without anyone sitting in there. And the question is, would a person driving this car been able to stop in time for this lady who now they're alleging has stepped out, dark clothes, and it was at night, and stepped right in front of this vehicle? Would it have been able to stop anyway a person? And we're going to talk about that. But the this first, at least to my knowledge, the first death of a pedestrian during this driverless car is going to kind of rock the world. And we're going to talk about the facts of it and the law and how it may or may not apply. Right after the break, I'm Fred Penny. I'm with Denise Dirks, and I'm with Todd Kunin and Chris Rodriguez.
And we thank you for being with us right here on your favorite radio station and, of course, on RadioLawTalk.com. Stay tuned. There's much more coming up. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk are for California legal services only. The following announcement brought to you by SacramentoLawyer.com. Finding the right lawyer for your particular needs can be confusing. With all the commercials and listings, and who's to say whether the lawyers there are even any good at what they do. So when you're looking for a lawyer, it makes sense to find someone local with the experience and expertise in that area of the law where you have a need. That's why there is SacramentoLawyer.com.
SacramentoLawyer.com.
At SacramentoLawyer.com, you just browse the site, free, and see the Facebook reviews on the firms you're considering with just a simple mouse click. That way you learn a little bit more about the lawyers there before you start making this critical decision. And there's no pressure. Use the right tool to find the lawyer that's best for you by going to SacramentoLawyer.com.
SacramentoLawyer.com.
That's SacramentoLawyer.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
Looking for a full day of fun for the family? You can't beat spending your day or evening at Golfland Sunsplash in Roseville, the premier family entertainment destination for all of Northern California. Pick from one of two adventure-themed 18-hole mini golf courses, then get challenged on our fast car racetrack. Don't miss Golfland's state-of-the-art laser tag arena, Laser Nights, and over 200 arcade games. The best in family entertainment, now at Golfland Sunsplash in Roseville. Golfland.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick Quack Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
What makes great jerky? Jerky that's moist, tender, and perfectly seasoned. And if you're looking for moist, tender, flavorful jerky, don't look anywhere else but River City Jerky Works. Only the finest ingredients and top quality meats are used in the preparation of River City Jerky. Do yourself a favor and order your River City Jerky Works jerky by going to their website, rivercityjerkyworks.com. Mmm. River City Jerky Works. One bite and you'll be hooked. Quite possibly the best jerky on the planet.
Now it's time to go back to Radio Law Talk with Todd, Chris, Denise, and Fred Penny.
So we're talking about this accident in Arizona with the self-driving car, and Todd brought up a very interesting point. Don't forget, in this day and age where everything goes so fast and news flies, you know, the first thing that comes up is the guy that was sitting behind the driverless vehicle that actually does nothing but sit there, had some felony convictions, and Todd's like, and?
That's right. It came out. I mean, it was one of the first things that I heard after the fact that there was a death. Big news. Driver behind the wheel was in the car was had felony convictions. And the question I have is, when it comes to a negligence action, if it's a negligent action or thing, what does his criminal history have to do with anything?
Nothing.
I mean, the only thing that I could see that it would have any relevance is if he was giving testimony. His felony record might have a bearing on whether or not he's credible in what he says, but there's nothing about his felony history that had anything to do with response time, operating the vehicle, the person stepping in front of it, but it's one of the first things they went to, and this is a classic example of relevant evidence versus irrelevant evidence, and that would be irrelevant if it goes to anything other than his credibility when he testifies.
But even if it was relevant in some regard, and I think it's the same in criminal law, correct me if I'm wrong, but in a civil court, the court has to weigh the prejudicial effect that evidence would have versus its probative effect.
That's right.
And so if there's just a very scant scintilla of probative value, but it's going to prejudice the jury against him because now that you know they're going to call into question, is he trustworthy because he's a convicted felon? The court would keep that evidence
That's
out.
That's right. The probative value has to be substantially outweighed by the risk of a prejudicial impact.
I smell a law firm putting out potentially prejudicial evidence to try to go out, to try to start tainting everybody in this case because they're going after a very big player in connection with this accident.
Okay, ready for this,
That's
Cal? Okay, so don't forget, this is my genre.
Yes.
And so we were talking during the break, and I was telling my theory, and I had a lot of head nodding, like, oh, I see. Here's what's happened, and it's already come out. If you watch the news, the police department is saying it was her fault, basically, because she stepped out, and no one would have reaction time as humans to this quick as she stepped out. What they're missing is, by the way, there are experts that deal with reaction time, the human brain, all that, that we actually get to testify to determine what they should have saw or didn't see or when, how long does it take to recognize this and that, lighting. Here's the issue. A computer, at least, I don't know all the details of it, so I'm going to be careful, but I'm going to say in general, the computer, in my opinion, does not see the whole scope of everything. Here's the issue. You're driving up to this intersection. You see a person standing on the side of the road, not in the road, not in the crosswalk. The first thing I do, or most people probably do, is I'm going to be careful here. I don't know if this person's going to step off in there. I'm going to merge to the next lane over just in case that person steps off. And they haven't brought that up with these self-driving vehicles. Can they think like a human in that manner and say, be careful, I see something coming way in advance? Chris?
Well, I drive country roads all the time. And if I'm coming down a country road going like 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, and somebody comes to the intersection, I am not looking at that car and noting the car. I want to look at the other driver's eyes to see if they've looked at me.
Exactly.
So that, and now I know, okay, they see me, so I can drive a little less defensively. I can't imagine that a self-driving car would be able to do that. Maybe it can. I don't know.
Sometimes they look at you and see you, and they still pull out.
Well, yeah. Could be.
I want to know, Chris, does the country road take you home to the place where you belong?
West Virginia.
Mama. Okay, yeah. Good. Well, you know, and I brought this up. A great example of what Fred was talking about was the Sullenberger who landed the plane on the Hudson River.
Right.
Okay, and then when they investigated him, the computer models and the pilots that were flying the simulation claimed to be able to prove that, no, you had enough thrust to make it to the Teterboro Airport. You didn't need to land on the water. And they ran through the simulation, and sure enough, in the first simulations, they were able to make it to the airport. And then Sullenberger brought up, okay, yeah, but you guys have been practicing this. You know exactly what time the bird strike occurred, and you immediately turned to Teterboro. You're not taking into consideration that we had to figure out what happened, had a protocol that we had to go through. So go ahead and add time to your response time to simulate what we had to go through in identifying what happened. And when they did, which was not accounted for in the computer models, they showed that they would not have been able to make it to Teterboro in time. That's what Fred's talking about. The computer models don't always take into consideration what real life human factors.
Human emotions and human factors like anticipation and
But I mean, to take the counter side of it, it's not like the four of us sitting here in Radio Law Talk have figured out something, some flaw that some of the smartest people in the country and engineers haven't already thought about. I mean, they have thought about this, and apparently they believe that they can make the technology good enough that they can overcome these problems. So it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, on that side too, Chris. I mean, it's an approximation. Approximately 32,000 annual fatalities caused by human drivers a year. Is it going to reduce that? And they do, you know, they do bring up some of these professors that have commented about it. Well, yeah, we're going to have some fatalities, and we're going to have to take that. But I say to myself, well, unless it's your child or spouse, maybe the truth is that instead of 32,000 accidents, there's going to be 8,000 accidents where people die, and that's a substantial reduction.
Right. I mean, and government analyzes these things all the time. I mean, we could eliminate traffic deaths if we brought the speed limit down to 2 miles an hour, but nobody is advocating that we do that. I mean,
but, you know, right. There was a person operating this car. Now, the car was driving itself, but you had a a rider on the part of Uber that was there supposed to monitoring things. But Fred, didn't you say that in come April or
first,
something like April 1st, California 2nd. Is going to okay. start with operatorless. There will be nobody in some of these cars.
It doesn't matter. They're not doing anything anyway. They're just sitting there reading a book. They really don't do anything.
Which is interesting because, to me, for this reason, from the criminal attorney standpoint, liability, there was a case that we had researched just a little bit. And I don't think we ever did a topic on it about a guy who got a DUI because he was riding a horse. He was drunk and he was riding the horse. Now, the horse is an autonomous. It can walk on its own. If it's trained enough, it can take you back to your house. But he got a DUI for basically driving a vehicle, the horse, that could think on its own.
Wasn't that in Washington, state of Washington?
Yeah. So my question is, if you get a driverless car and you get behind the wheel and the car knows what to do like the horse knows what to do, could you get a DUI just sitting
in it? I'd say no.
You shouldn't, but I don't know why the guy get charged with a DUI on the horse.
I don't know if this is an urban legend, but in my town, which we have given winners all kinds of, you know, a hard time. We've
kudos.
Given it credit. Kudos, hard time. You know, it's winners. But I have always heard growing up that you can, and you're the criminal lawyer, so I'd love for you to weigh in on this. You can get a DUI on a horse because you, as the rider of the horse, you can manipulate the horse. You cannot get a DUI on a donkey because it has a mind of its own. That's what I've always believed the law to be. I don't know whether that's an urban legend or an actual.
But here's the thing. Did you see the movie True Lies? With Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's chasing the bad guy, and the guy's on the motorcycle, and the guy jumps off one building and into the pool of the other building below. So Schwarzenegger says, "All right, let's go, horse." And he takes the horse, and he starts running, and the horse goes all the way and then stops at the edge, and Schwarzenegger falls over the front, and then the horse pulls him back up. Clearly, the horse had a mind of its own. It wasn't going to make that jump.
Are you sure it wasn't a donkey?
No, it was a horse.
Okay.
It was a horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
The urban legends that you learn about on Radio Law Talk. Forget the law, but you learn about the urban legend in Winters, California.
What kind of criminal defense lawyer are you? You've never defended a donkey DUI case?
I have never.
Jeez,
no, and I've never been to Tijuana either. So, you know,
had to go there, didn't we?
No, I haven't gone there.
So anyway, this is going to be interesting. We're going to follow these lawsuits because don't forget, right now, there are a number of companies that are trying to get these driverless cars, and cities and states and counties are fighting to get these people to bring their cars, driverless cars, to their cities. Because you know what? Everyone's going to want them. There's Uber, Waymo, and a subsidiary of Alphabet, Inc., which is formerly the Google Autonomous Vehicle Project, and General Motors are already doing this. And guess what? They're going to come, and guess what? What do I do for a living then? Can I just do Radio Law Talk?
That's fine with me.
I'll just do Radio Law Talk because I'm out of a job.
Probably not.
Chris, do you have any jobs at your firm for me? a retired PI guy. Well, we got 30 seconds left. We want to thank everybody here. We want to thank our call screener, Seth Madden, Zach, the most important guy here. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, 3-time Emmy Award nominee, never a winner. I had to bring it up at the third hour.
Thank you.
Cal Hunter. Thank you, Denise, for pushing through. My name's Fred Penny. I got Todd. I got Chris. We'll see you next week on Radio Law Talk.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.